I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs.
I play video games.
News and Liberty, with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, Weebum,
damn right I am,
and Rob.
Here we go!
News and Liberty. This is the 100th episode of New Soundwave.
Hey, everybody. Yes, indeed, it is the 100th show. Amazing. You know, technically, I got to say, this isn't the 100th video game show, but this is the 100th show, period. So still a momentous occasion. With me this week, Rob and Peter. How are you guys doing?
Not bad.
Good,
not
man.
Bad. Yeah. Do you feel 100 years old? I hope the answer is no. I just realized that. It's probably not a flattering thing to say yes. I feel 100 and I only look 80. So yes, guys. This is the 100th show. Actually, to kick off the show, since this is the 100th New Soundwave, we are going to do a contest. How about that? Woo, woo, woo. We're going to give away 1,600 Microsoft points for you Xbox Live gamers out there. All you have to do, and this will be good for the entire week until next week's show, all you got to do is follow TF Radio on Twitter, which is our mother account, the account for all the shows, all the TF Radio networks. So all you got to do is follow TF Radio and then tweet, happy 100th show, New Soundwave, retweet to win. So all you got to do, take a gander, guys, if you're watching video live. All you got to do is retweet, happy 100th show, New Soundwave, retweet to win. And next week, we will pick somebody at random and give them 1,600 sweet, sweet Microsoft points. So fun.
So fun.
So, guys, first up, the show is going to be very retro. And it's because the news this week is very, very retro. Sega has announced that they are resurrecting Daytona USA for nice. Xbox Live and PlayStation Network. I have incredibly fond memories of Daytona USA. Did you guys play that back in the day?
Yeah. I'm jumping on yes.
Still in arcades. I mean, it's if you go to a Dave and Buster's, which is more or less one of the only like arcades that you can still count on, it's still there, and people still play it.
It's my second favorite Dreamcast game still to this day.
So you liked the Dreamcast port?
Yeah. Now, the Saturn port is the one that sucked.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast port was the one that was good.
Wait, did you play it in the arcade?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. I was
going to
say.
I'm still to this day thinking about buying the cabinet.
Oh, my God. Where are you going to find room for
the port or the arcade?
The cabinet. I have the port.
What?
I have, like, two copies of it.
Are you nuts? Going to buy another warehouse for that thing? Like,
I want it pretty bad.
Those are huge, man.
Daytona USA is awesome. It is so awesome.
It's the best racing game ever.
Yeah, it strikes like the perfect chord between like sort of real, but really just like an action game on wheels, kind of, you know? It's not like a slavish racing game at all. It is awesome.
It is kind of weird that like it still stays, you know? People still play it. It's not cheap at Dave and Buster's. It's
still fun.
Right.
And it still looks good enough.
Yeah, it holds up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to play Virtua Racing. But this is a good couple of years or more after that. 4 years, I think, actually. So
yeah, it sounds about right. It's light years beyond that game, visually.
God, that's awesome.
But yeah, dude, guys, it's probably going to be like an HD. Yeah, it's going to be overhauled with widescreen graphics in HD. It's going to look awesome. Speaking of being remastered in widescreen HD, Guardian Heroes has hit Xbox Live today. So a true classic.
Wow.
A true, true classic. Guardian Heroes is now available for just 800 Microsoft points. If you win the contest, you're going to have twice that many points, so you'll be golden. A lot of people probably don't know what Guardian Heroes is. It's a RPG brawler kind of hybrid.
Yeah.
I would say that, right? It's like it's a beat 'em up with RPG elements, maybe something like that.
It's a game I'm familiar with, but I never played it. I actually don't have it on the Saturn. I don't think. I may have it.
Yeah, me either. I always wanted to get it because, of course, I believe it's by Treasure, who have a really good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But I may have to get that now because
I would recommend it hands down. I had the original game. I hope I still have it somewhere around here. I pray to God, because it's like on eBay. It's pricey. It's rare. It's collector's item.
Like Panzer Dragoon.
I have never heard of this game before. Is that bad?
No, because it was like it was very rare. It was hard to find. It was not a commercial success, I'll say, but it was like an immediate like cult hit. So
when does Daytona? See, that came out on Xbox Live today. When does Daytona come out?
Because you're frothing at the mouth.
Yes.
They haven't announced it. They haven't announced a release date yet. They've just announced that they're going to do it.
Yeah. Oh, my
Sega's
God.
Sega's like, more money, bitches.
Now, what I really want is Daytona USA 2 with the Winger soundtrack.
Oh, God. This is a true aficionado talking right here.
I'm not that big into it. I have a huge affinity for it, but I'm by no means like an expert.
Did you ever... So... I take it you raced a few. You took a few laps around as the horse back in the day.
That was only on the Saturn, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know it was on the sucky Saturn, but it was one of like the only, I guess, somewhat interesting qualities about the Saturn one. That yes, you could play a horse
I
that could ram into cars going 100 miles an hour and come out on the better end.
I didn't have a Saturn until long after I had a Dreamcast, so I really never even bothered playing it on the Saturn.
Did you buy the Saturn as kind of like a collector slash older gamer?
So amongst my friends, we have a strange way of collecting things and passing them around. Like, I bought my Saturn and my 3DO off of Chris Triplett from the other podcast. Ended up selling the 3DO to my brother, who still has it. But the Saturn I got from Chris Triplett back in, like, 2002, 2003. And, I'd already played the heck out of Daytona for the Dreamcast by that point, so I really didn't care. Especially considering it's such an inferior port.
Yes. Yeah, you know, and Night Convoy in chat said he got the Game Boy Advanced version.
I don't have that.
That is crazy.
I will shortly,
that
though.
Is that.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. He says the Guardian Heroes Advanced.
Oh.
That makes a little more sense.
That makes more sense, but I'm somewhat sad that there wasn't a Game Boy Advance Daytona USA. That would have been impressive. That would have been a good try. To pull that off. But yes, Guardian Heroes Advance. Interesting. I can't think of any other ports of that game, to be honest with you. That may be the only one other than the original. But yes, anyway, yes, Guardian Heroes. By all means, check it out. It's really fun. It's really interesting. I hope it holds up, because I have really fond memories of that game. Guys, shocking. Shocking. Breaking news. The PlayStation Network is in trouble. I don't know if this has ever happened before, but Sony has had to lock 93,000 accounts after a mass login attempt. So apparently some hackers were afoot, and they tried to log into all these accounts at once. Sony assures us that only a few of those accounts have shown signs of further hacking after the login attempt. And no credit card information was taken. Also, please note, according to Sony, no credit card information was taken. And if your account was one of the ones affected, you will receive an email, and it will ask you to reset your password. It will also remind you that you can't sue us in a class action lawsuit if you update it recently. Very fun. Let's see here. What else? Oh, I would be remiss without mentioning that iOS 5 did become available today. So if you're listening to us live, watching us live, you can go to iTunes and download iOS 5 for your iProduct. For gamers, this is kind of a big deal, because one of the biggest pet peeves with the previous OSs is if you got a notification and you were playing a game at the same time, the notification would freeze the game and pop up while you were playing the game. It would pop up that, you know, you have a new meeting invitation or a new text message or something like that. And it would just shut the game, freeze the game while you had to read that notification. No more. Now those notifications will go to a very convenient notification center. And so whatever you're doing, gaming, working on another app, what have you, it won't freeze up. Also, the Game Center, if you are a user of that, updates to that include profile pictures, public achievement scores. We all love achievements. We can't live without our achievements. And friend recommendations. Real quick, guys. So, achievements. This is kind of a weird tangent, but I kind of want to go here. Okay, so achievements, are those a big deal to you guys? Are you, I mean, do you chase after achievements, or is it just something that when it pops up on the screen, you're just kind of like, you know, oh, interesting, that's fun. I mean, how much do those add to the gameplay or not for you guys?
Every so often I'll mess with them. It has to be a really interesting achievement. If it's something that looks like, well, that looks like that would be fun and insane to attempt, then sure, I'll give it a shot. But other than that, I don't really, you know, I'm not one of those people who has to get every single achievement in the game. That's too much like work.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, yeah. they come across as, I guess, something that's very, 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 non-critical and kind of nice. And I'm not sure, to this day, I'm really not sure what they're for. Like, so,
right.
You know, if you rack up a ton of achievements, what does that mean?
It's for bragging rights.
Is it? Is
yeah,
it,
yeah,
I
yeah,
guess?
Yeah.
Okay, all
right. It's so, like, I don't know, I'm OCD or anal. I guess I should say anal, not OCD, but about a lot of things. But like Rob was saying, they're just a pain in the ass. It's like, what? Like, great, there's 40 of them. I'm not going back for that.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's probably like a slippery slope. Like, you don't want to care about them, because if you start caring about them, you're screwed. You're gonna,
oh, yeah, it's over, yeah. Because then you're going to go, like, and try to be like, oh, I got to do this specifically or do that. Because some of them are really stupid. Like, some of them are like, oh, beat this board on the hardest level in 5 seconds. And I was like,
yeah.
Right, yeah. They're just they're exercises in pain,
yeah.
Which we'll talk about further at the end of the show, by the way. We'll talk a little bit about Dark Souls.
The ones I do like are – I do like when they do pop up, and some of them are, like, funny. They have a
humor. They're clever.
That's funny. But they give you stupid ones. It's like you just started a game. Here's 10G. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that kind of, like, devalues all of the other ones after that.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, okay, we'll just throw you like 2 or 3 achievements right off the bat, you know?
Yeah, it kind of defeats the purpose of the whole thing and kind of emphasizes the busy workiness of the whole enterprise.
Yes. Let's be honest, just a ploy to have you play a little bit longer, just a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
One of the few games in recent history that I've done all the extras on is Arkham Asylum. And next week, Arkham City comes out. If you are one of the probably hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of people pre-ordering, and you're interested in DLC, the DLC has been priced for Nightwing and Robin. So if you're not one of those who pre-ordered specifically for one DLC or the other, here is what it's going to set you back at GameStop. So GameStop is selling the Arkham City skins pack with all the Batman for $5, and that will be available on December 6th. They are selling Robin for $7. That will be available on November 22nd. And they are selling Nightwing for $7. That will be available on November 1st. Guys, did you play the Arkham Asylum game? And if so, are you looking forward to Arkham City?
Only Peter. A little bit of it. Oh, Peter, sorry.
No. Go for it.
Thank you.
Go for it, Rob.
I only played a little bit of it, but I do want to give Arkham City a shot. I don't think I'm going to be getting it immediately, but I do plan to get it.
I am super excited. I really enjoyed the first game. I thought it was a really good game. And just when I was watching some gameplay and stuff like that, and you're like, it's pretty much, I mean, it's Arkham Asylum just in a freaking city. So I don't know what you can't like about that kind of game.
Right. Just bigger and more.
Yeah, and they've done more, like, they've added some new things to it. Like, the biggest thing was you could only fight hand to hand or throw certain things to distract them for a second, but now you can actually use your weapons and stuff, so that's always cool. And I really like that they said, oh, since we're making the game bigger, we're just gonna shove as many, like, characters in there as possible. And so, yeah, I'm definitely excited. I'm actually quite surprised that they're only waiting 1 week to release Nightwing. That's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I guess they feel like they need to. I don't know, strike while the iron's hot, maybe. I don't know, stagger him. And I think probably rightly, no offense, Nightwing. But of the three, that's probably the least desired one, you know? I guarantee you more people want different skins for Batman than Nightwing. And the skins are cheaper anyway, so.
Yeah. I'm glad that, the prices aren't, they're definitely different characters. They play a little differently. They handle the same, but, their move sets are different. So it's not like you're just getting a skinned Batman or anything like that with this $7 purchase. So yeah. it's a good deal, I think. It's much better than the $15 Call of Duty map packs that you're interested
in. That's your problem, buddy. You're the one. You're getting. They're taking you for a ride.
They definitely just have their hand in my pockets when I paid for that kind of stuff. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, here's the thing that Diecast brings up in the chat. He was asking me if the latest X-Men game, X-Men Destiny, is any good. The answer is no. It is not.
Awful. Reviews are terrible.
Pretty awful. Pretty, pretty, pretty bad. Arkham Asylum and I hope Arkham City, I would expect Arkham City, are really exceptions to kind of the rule of licensing and comic book video games. A good quality comic book or licensed game like this is hard to find.
Yeah, Rocksteady actually is they're pretty much like a gem. In this type of thing, because Batman, if you can remember, I think we had a talk about this previously, but Batman was kind of like Superman. It was just like the games that they would come out with would just be terrible. Like the game itself, the playability, the characters, the movesets and everything was just, they were horrendous to mediocre at best. So when Rocksteady came out with Arkham Asylum, everybody was just blown away by this game because, not only was it was good, you had to actually play, you actually had to use your brain, you didn't just go around doing mundane stuff. I think one of the things, though, other than Rocksteady, I like Treyarch's Spider-Man 2 game. I thought that was a really good game, but I guess they're busy doing Call of Duty games every other year, so
yeah, they'll eat your time up.
Yeah, so
Spider-Man's got to take a back seat. Yeah, I mean, the first, well, I should say, like several generations ago, Batman had a pretty good run. I mean, the NES Batman is okay. It's hard, but it's a decent side-scrolling game. The Super Nintendo, the Genesis Batman is decent. It's okay. And then the Super Nintendo Batman Returns game. It was a beat 'em up, and it was pretty much hailed for its diversity of moveset. But again, it was a good game. Was it a great game? No. But Arkham Asylum, when it came out, I guess 2 years ago by now, people legitimately talk about that as like a game of the year type game.
Yeah, it did a great job of, even the ones you were listing, they were all side-scroller beat-em-ups, right?
Yeah, right, and that's right.
Yeah, like Arkham Asylum was one of the first to actually blend everything that was Batman into a single game.
Yes.
He was good at just beating the crap out of people, but at the same time, he's a great detective, so.
He sure is, Peter. He sure is.
Oh, he's good.
The weird thing is, you would think, it's weird how, they can't get an X-Men game right, or they can't get some of these other properties right. And maybe it is just because, I don't know, Rob, if you have any thoughts on this. Batman is a very flexible character, but I guess when you get down to it, how do you wrap a game around X-Men? I don't know, because it's, they have their X-Power, they can do their mutant power. Depending on which X-Men or which Marvel character you're talking about, it's hard to get this diversity of gameplay with these different characters. Like, you can wrap all this stuff into Batman. You can't wrap a bunch of stuff into, say, Wolverine, because he just goes crazy. When he fights, he goes crazy. He's an animal, right? So, and he's not necessarily a detective. So, I don't know. In your past, have you had any notable good or bad comic book games that pop up?
I actually like the X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance series pretty well.
Yeah, is that good?
Yeah, it's
fun.
It's a decent little action RPG. Trying to think what else there was. I'm probably one of the only people on the planet that actually likes the Superman game for the NES, but that may be more for the music than for anything else.
What genre was that game?
It was a side scroller, but like so many Superman games, he was way more fragile than he should have been.
Yes, well, you know,
shouldn't be fragile at all. He's Superman.
You gotta write it that way. Yeah. I remember the Superman arcade game being decent. Do you guys remember that? It was like a side scrolling beat 'em up type, and there was some kind of flying levels where you would fly around, use your laser vision. I don't know if that rings a bell, but that was probably back in early 90s, maybe even like 90.
I think it was early 90s. Wasn't it a two-player game where the two players played different colored Supermen?
Yeah, I believe so. That rings a bell.
Yeah.
That rings a bell. That was back in the the days of like, oh, we're going to throw out a Punisher side-scroller and beat him up, and oh, we're going to throw out a Spider-Man side-scroller
like
and beat him up.
Like these skin dudes, like...
Yeah, right. Yeah, essentially, yeah. Everything you know looks kind of fishy, yeah.
You so. Know what now, was a good game was the X-Men arcade where you had like... You could play like six people or something. You remember that mega arcade cabinet from the early 90s?
X Chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a classic. Hey, when we come back, we will run through a few of the notable new releases this week. Then we will get into our big discussion. When is hard too hard? So we'll talk a little bit about Dark Souls, which is an exercise in pain. And then we'll talk about is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? What games have taken hard to an unacceptable level? So this is New Soundwave, episode 100.
What's the hottest 16-bit video game system with true arcade games, great graphics, real challenge, stereo sound, and the hottest library too with games like Altered Beast, Golden Axe, Super Hang-On, Forgotten Worlds, Space Harrier 2, Revenge of Shinobi, Tommy Lasorda Baseball, Buxton, Last Battle, Arnold Palmer Tournament Golf, Super Thunder Blade, Zoom, Thunder Force 2, Ghouls and Ghosts, Mystic Defender, Rambo 3, and more? Genesis from Sega. Genesis, the new generation in video games.
I repeat, stay in your homes. Sonic 3D Blast has hit the mainland. The blue storm is moving unpredictably, spinning, smashing, gaining power as he tears along. If you should see an eerie gyration of light, move away. You may be witnessing the blast attack.
Play Sonic 3D Blast on Sega Channel, the only cable channel with unlimited play of over 70 games a month. Call your cable company to get hooked in.
Dear?
Skycutter, Cyclops, Juggernaut, I kept transforming.
Everybody's saying...
Can't. Later, Mom.
What's with him?
He's just having an identity crisis.
New Kid Chameleon, the multiple personality game, only on Sega Genesis.
Where do we start?
How about his knee?
That's his face. If that's his face, what's this?
Is the 100th episode of New Soundwave.
Okay, we're back. Better, faster, stronger, more alive. Guys, this week, in preparation for the big week, Arkham City Week, there are some interesting new releases coming out, so let's run down them real quick and then we'll jump into the topic. First up, you're going to love this, Hulk Hogan's main event for Kinect. This is, as you would think from the title, a Hulk Hogan action RPG wrestling game. This is awesome. This is a game starring Hulk Hogan It is not affiliated with any wrestling promotion. Let's make that clear. It's all Hulk Hogan. Join Hulk Hogan as he tries to make money and recover from his financial rape during his divorce. Oh, also, no, that's not in the manual. That's just, you know, the reason for this game existing. What happens here is Hulk will guide you, mentor you, as you create your own wrestling personality and you learn the ropes and the wrestling skills that will take you to the top. And let me remind you guys, it is a Kinect game, so hijinks will ensue in your living room under the guidance of the great one, Hulk Hogan. Also coming out, Forza 4. It is also connectable. I don't know if you guys are racing fans, as we talked about Daytona USA earlier in the show, but Forza 4 is pretty hype. I mean, it's got some, you know, there's some hype around this game.
It's considered like, you know, the Xbox equivalent of Gran Turismo, right? It's
their
racing. Way up there.
Yeah. So if you're into racing, and certainly if you're into Forza. Forza 4 is coming out. I hear it's got a lot of elements, as you would expect, that are carried over from Forza 3, but there's probably enough content in here to make you happy with your purchase. What may not make you happy with your purchase is Dead Rising 2 off the record. So this is Capcom's grand do-over of Dead Rising 2, now with Frank West instead of Chuck Green. Chuck Green, it didn't happen. Don't worry about it. So
that guy.
This is a slightly modified, slightly rewritten re-release of Dead Rising 2. If you already played Dead Rising 2, this game's going to be very familiar. It's going to have, obviously, Frank West, and what's interesting about this is, for the most part, the game's the same. It's an alternate take on Dead Rising 2. So it's like the Gundam Wing of Dead Rising 2.
Am I the only one reminded of Castlevania Legacy of Darkness for the N64?
It is exactly like that.
Yeah.
Yes. So, it is sweeping everything under the rug.
Yeah, so you're saying that it's an alternate take. It's another take. Does that mean they just, like, reskinned Chuck as Frank
West?
So. Oh, great.
I think so.
How much is this?
a lot of stuff, so you have conversations with characters, and those conversations, some of those conversations, or a lot of those conversations, they're the exact same as they were in Dead Rising 2, except, like, at certain points, the dialogue is rewritten and re-recorded, because you're talking to somebody different than a Chuck. Now it's Frank, but they carried over all the dialogue that they could. It's just the stuff that wouldn't work, they had to go back and re-record it. So, okay. If this was Street Fighter, it's not Super Street Fighter 2, it's Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, right? It's just a little bit different. But it's only $40. So it's instead of 60, it's 40. One more, Aliens Infestation for DS. This is interesting because it's a platformer that will be part of the Aliens expanded universe, whatever that means. So it looks like they're trying to tie everything up with a neat bow in the Aliens universe, or just, like, as they probably should, burn everything to the ground, just kind of start over. Because at this point, after how many movies have they done? Four? Have there been four or five?
Aliens?
Yeah. There was the last one I remember was when Ripley was, like, a clone and also half alien.
Yeah, that's three. That was Resurrection, so that was four, right?
That was four, right?
Yeah.
And you can do another one, right? I don't think so.
If you don't count Alien versus Predator, then yeah, that was it.
And I don't. I do not. Alien versus Predator 1 was okay, I guess. Alien versus Predator 2 was a tragedy.
So
it was just awful. Just awful. Okay. So, guys, topic. Topic. So, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, Dark Souls came out. Dark Souls is a game that is hard. It is hard. It is mean hard. It is impossible hard. Stupid hard. Unfortunately, it's kind of glitchy hard, too. The game's a little rough. But it is being hailed as probably one of the hardest games in recent memory, if not one of the hardest games of all time. Yet, at the same time, it has a cultish fan base. It's streamed online 24/7. People are just, you know, going through the exercise and pain to beat the game, and most people are still on their first run. So there's lots of rumors and kind of hearsay being passed around the internet on how you beat this boss and how you do this and how you do that. But it's incredibly hard, difficult. You will die 1,000 deaths before you get through this game. This brings up the question for you guys, for the topic. So when is hard too hard? Is there such a thing in a game for being, is, you know, can a game be, you know, almost impossible to beat, but if it's done well, is that okay? Or is there just a point where you kind of like throw up your hands and say, this is like, they're trolling us. Like the game makers are trolling us. This is not worth it. So, I mean, what do you guys, what are your experiences with hard games?
Rob.
Well, okay.
Way more experience than I do about games in
about
general.
Hard games.
Well, you know, Demon's Souls, the predecessor to Dark Souls, I played some. I think at some point I probably described it as a frustration simulator. It's, you know, I like that there are games that hard out there, and every so often I like to mess with them, but it's not anything I want a steady diet of. It's very reminiscent of Monster Hunter, which has its own kind of difficulty. But Monster Hunter, I think, rewards you a little bit more for the learning curve than Demon's Souls did.
So what does Monster Hunter do? Like, how do they reward you?
Basically, the way it works is that, you know, as you go through the game, it doesn't actually have an experience system per se, but as you go through the game and you get better equipment and better and get just more proficient at recognizing the patterns and habits of your enemies, you know, you notice that an enemy that took you half an hour at the beginning of the game is now taking you maybe 2 minutes to kill. And, you know, I like that experience sometimes, but it's just putting in the time to get there, and that's only something I do once in a blue moon anymore. I do like my games to run a little bit easier these days.
So it's kind of like a time thing, almost. Like you don't have time for that kind of sacrifice?
Time or patience, really. You know, I find as I get older, I'm using a lot more of my time and my patience on my real life, and when I play a game, I just want to sit and have some fun.
That's a good point. You know, I actually heard somebody else when they were talking about Dark Souls. They were talking about it in the context of, what does this mean for Monster Hunter? Is this going to like open the door for a game like Monster Hunter if people like accept this incredibly hard, difficult Dark Souls? Are they going to become more accepting of a game like Monster Hunter that, you know, requires more effort, more time, you know, this kind of grinding type, you know, gameplay? Maybe. I will say, like, you know, I've played a little bit of Dark Souls, and I've watched quite a bit of gameplay. And there's obviously a clear difference in the kinds of hard that are in that game. So the game is obviously constructed to be very, very difficult, and it's there are parts of the game that are mean, and I mean that by. So say you're like running down a very narrow path in a cave, and the path is like as wide as both your feet, you know. So you have to walk on the path perfectly. Well, in this game, anything that touches you will knock you off balance. So that means any arrows. That means any other objects will move you. Hint, knock you off this path.
Yeah.
So as you're running down this path, or walking carefully down this path, on another ledge is a guy in shadow that you can't see that throws something at you and knocks you off the cliff. And you can't see it, and there's no way you would ever know about that without dying at least once. So the game is really mean like that. So like there are points in the game where you will die and you have to learn what killed you, and then you have to go back and, you know, obviously, you know, oh, there's an invisible guy over here, right here. I'm going to have to shoot him and kill him. And it's easy if you know he's there, but you can't ever like possibly know he's there on the first playthrough. So, and the other kind of hard that's in this game, unfortunately, is the glitchy hard. So,
oh man, no.
The game's got a lot of glitches. It's it will freeze on you. Like the hitboxes won't quite match consistently or where you think they should. That's the bad kind of hard.
Why are all the stupid hard games? Why is it always the stupid hard games that are always glitchy? They always annoy you even more. Like, it's like they purposely leave the glitches in there to piss you off much further than you already are.
Well, I will say the Dark Souls kind of comes across as rushed. I mean, so that's for what it's worth. It does seem like a game that was kind of pushed out. The translation is horrible, but in an awesome way. So yes, this is a Japanese game. It's the native language is Japanese. The translation is rough, but it's in an entertaining way. So like if you enter when you enter the boss zones, every time you enter a boss zone, you walk through white fog or just fog. That's kind of your cue. Oh, here's a boss is coming up. You better be ready. So they do give you that. But the English translation is something like, do you want to traverse through the white mist or something like that? Would you, when in Japan, in Japanese, it says, do you want to walk through the fog or something like that? Go through the fog. Yes. But, no, it's, it actually helps the game because it comes across as this kind of like antiquated, stilted English that's not quite right. But it's just another piece of evidence that, yes, this game was kind of pushed out the door. Rob, were you going to say something? It looked like you were going to chime in.
Yeah, there was, when you were talking about the person you can't possibly anticipate knocking you off the narrow pathway, I was just going to say that's a kind of difficulty that I've never really liked in games, that kind of forced repetition. Yeah. Mega Man 9, I think, has some of the most brilliant level design for a game of its type I've seen in a long time, because practically every trap they throw at you in the game, you see a non-lethal example first, and then next time you see the trap, it will kill you to death if you weren't paying attention.
It's so funny because it's like in a game that's cutesy, sort of, or like, very friendly looking as Mega Man, and then it can drive you up the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Design. Very nice.
Yeah.
I totally agree. This game is full of stuff like that, death traps like that. And so I guess you have to be in a certain mindset to find that entertaining. And it would be interesting to see what types of people can tolerate this game. Because you're right, Rob. I mean, like, having time to be patient is probably, critical for a game like this. Because you're going to be trolling this game. You're going to have to be going back and back and back and back and forth in this game for hours and hours and hours just make a little bit of progress. And granted, to the player, when a game's that hard and you make a little bit of progress, it's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
But to a gamer that just flat out does not have time for that, it's probably incredibly frustrating and, if not, like, impossible.
Yeah.
So
I think this is also where I will invoke once again Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yes. Anything with Ninja Gaiden in the title.
Well, Ninja Gaiden was hard. The original was hard, but I beat it. I made it. But Ninja Gaiden 2 got to the point where it was just so frustrating that it was, and to make matters worse, the camera was awful. Your character would be like on a wall and it would be like, if you turned around or something, the camera wouldn't follow you. So you'd be kind of like blind slashing someone, and if you didn't pay attention, then they would just kill you and you would have to restart the whole damn board all over again. It's like to the point where it was like so annoying and so cheap. It was like they were taking cheap shots, kind of like the there's an invisible guy there. This one would be like, oh, this ninja star that normally takes only a tenth of your life has taken 5/10 of your life. And it's like, oh, conveniently, it's during a boss battle. Oh, how convenient. Seems like.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, good talk, guys. Good talk. Hey, to wrap up the show, just a reminder, this was our 100th show. Not the 100th video game show, but the 100th show nonetheless. And so we are giving away 1,600 Microsoft points. All you got to do, follow us on TF Radio on Twitter, @TF Radio. and then retweet. Happy 100th show, New Soundwave. Retweet to win. So we'll run that all week. We'll put that on the site, too. And we will pick a winner at random, whoever tweets that tweet, and they will win 1,600 Microsoft points. So, for the guys, for Peter, for Rob, for myself, I am John. We will see you next week for show 101.
2-1-0. Game over.
Mother. You're alive.
Too bad. You will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.